Well, good morning. It's great to see you all here. It's wonderful on this new day that the Lord has made. You know, we can always rejoice and be glad in it. And today is a day that we're talking about joy and rejoicing. Rejoicing is a action of joy. And so when you hear gladness and all that, that's just a part of what joy is. And, you know, I was trying to remember a time when I think it was just last summer. We had such a dryness and stuff like that, and we had the Wallace Run Creek behind us, and so we'd scoop that water up in buckets and bring it on over and, you know, water our flowers or another vegetation with it. And one thing I noticed, though, you know, if it leaks, you know, especially if I'm swashing around and stuff like that, well, and when I get to the flowers, it's kind of like, what happened? You know, where did it go? The flowers weren't happy with me. The grass was. Because it was leaking all over the place, sloshing all over the place, you know, as I was walking. And you know, joy is an emotion that leaks as well. Did you know that? Have you experienced the leak of joy in your lives? And that's, you know, that we're going to be taking a little bit closer at that. And, you know, what is our part and what is the Lord's part in that? One thing people say, well, what is joy? Because it looks, you know, there's happiness, you know, where people are just happy, and then there's a joy. And there is a difference between the two, all right? And I look it up, and joy, just a basic one, definition says, a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Tears of joy. Have you ever had tears of joy? I've had tears of joy. Especially when I open up a special present, it's a lot of chocolate and things like that. There's tears of joy going on there. All right? I'm just a hint. Christmas coming up in a couple weeks. 3 weeks? Something like that. I like this definition even better. The emotion. So joy is the emotion. So you hear it's a feeling. It is an emotion. Okay? The emotion of great delight, okay, there's that great, okay, or happiness, great happiness, caused by something exceptionally good. And I really like that. Caused by something exceptionally good. That brings joy. So it's not just I bought a new car and yeah, like that for a little bit, and then your happiness goes away, then when you have to put the gas in it and it goes over $50 or $100 or whatever it is that you got. So, you know, that happiness and joy, happiness is more in circumstantial, and joy can help us get through those circumstances, which is wonderful. And then, if you read in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says this, rejoice always. So it may as well just be joyful always. Be joyful always. Right? Be joyful always. And when I think about that, I go, that's not really, I don't think that can be done. Okay? In all present reality, and these days, or I don't know, back then, maybe they had special times, they can be joyful always. But I know that seems to be a pretty impossible task for me. Then when I thought about it, I was going, well, wow. As I read the Bible and as I look at my own life, and then I start going, well, joy, you know, what is it? Because there's expressions of joy where people are going, yeah. And there's expressions of joy of people sitting in prison, but yet they still have a joy in their hearts that helps them continue on and persevere day to day, moment to moment. And I think that's really what they're talking about. So where did we get that joy? So, you know, so it doesn't, sometimes it seems like it doesn't make sense in our days today, but I think hopefully we'll get a little bit better understanding as we go on today. There's a couple of secrets in the Bible about living a joyful life. And some people say maybe a perpetual state of joy. All right, so we're going to be taking a look at that today together. Let's pray before we continue on. Father God, yes, we give this day, this time into your care, Lord, and we just ask that you will bless these words, bless your word, Lord, that it will come alive as we learn and grow together in the grace and knowledge of who you are. May your Holy Spirit move and touch our hearts and open our hearts to new things, challenge us anew, Lord, to a different walk in our lives, to be transformed as that of Christ Jesus. So, Lord, Father, I just ask that you will receive all the glory and honor in this, and we praise you for your word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Do you remember Hannah? Do you remember Hannah? She walked to the temple with probably a three-year-old boy, her firstborn child that she was desiring for how many long years, I don't know. And she left him at the temple. And what did she do? Did she go around and just fall down and start weeping and crying and why? No. She was praising the Lord out of joyfulness. There was something more about that where she was able to speak out something more than she could ever feel and understand. There is a joy in that. A deep joy, something inexpressibly good, exceptionally good, just abounding to her. She probably didn't even know it was. She probably didn't. How about Jesus facing the cross and all the suffering going to be involved in that? And taking all of our sins upon himself and being separated from his Father for an instant. But oh, how difficult that would be. And yet he had a joy. He had a joy in that, he said. A joy that he was facing for us. Where's that coming from? How about Paul? You know, Paul's the one who the Lord inspired to write this letter to the Philippians. And you know where he wrote it from? From the beach in Southern California. Though you might want to be there. No, he wrote from prison. He wrote from prison in the discomfort of prison and the impending action of his death. Actually, they said that by tradition in AD 67, he was beheaded by the Emperor Nero. So he was in that time when he was writing this letter. Yet this letter to the Philippians is filled with joy. Filled with joy. It's like a manifesto saying, this is how we live it. This is how we live in a perpetual state of joy. It seems like it's very ironic, isn't it? It doesn't seem like it fits. You know, it's like taking a square peg and trying to put it in that round hole. It's just very difficult to do. But he makes it fit. And we're going to see a little bit more how that is. Because even Paul and his friend Silas in a prison, they were singing songs, joyful songs unto the Lord. That brought salvation to the prison guard and his family after a while. Where is that coming from? I don't want joy then. If I got to sit in prison, if I got to let my little son go, if I have to face the cross, I don't want the joy. Get rid of it. Just give me happiness. I'll deal with its fleetingness. Well, when we follow Christ, there's more to it. Back in the day of Nehemiah, if you remember him, and that, we always hear this expression, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah said that. And as we go back into Nehemiah 8 there. And what's going on there is they're rebuilding the wall. Remember now, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. And now they were coming back. They're going back to Jerusalem, and they're rebuilding it. And they're rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Rebuilding. And this is Nehemiah's words here in verse 10. It says, Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words. They now understood the words that had been made known to them. You see, there wasn't just a rebuilding of the walls going on there. There was a rebuilding of the people by the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit moving amongst them and retraining their minds where they have neglected and were ignorant and all that, and being disobedient to God and rebellious to his word and sinning and having idols and treating one another poorly. Now, the word of God is coming back and teaching them and filling them to where they see this, that they were ignorant, that they were disobedient, and now they're repenting. And there's a joyfulness in that because there's a new thing going on. Knowing the Lord. So critical, because in our lives, a lot of times we've kind of gone, "Well, I know about the Lord," or I believe in Jesus. But when you start questioning them, you start to see that there's no substance there. There's no relationship there. There's no true knowing. There's no walk, a daily walk with the Lord. There's no time in a word. There's no time in prayer. There's no time in sharing the hope that they have in Christ with others. They don't even know what Christ did for them, probably. Some of them don't even know. They might think, "Oh, he died," but they're not sure why he died. And they forget that he rose again on the third day. See, they're starting to understand what we've been understanding through Exodus and all the scriptures, is that God is the awesome God. He is the great I Am. He is all powerful, all knowing, everywhere present, unchanging, holy and perfect God. And they're getting to know that. And when we know that, then we start to understand that this awesome God did so much for us. His love is so great for us. And when we start to grasp that a little bit more, it helps us to move forward through circumstances and other things that will hold us back, or just things that give us a little bit of joy or happiness in this world, but it fleets away. But then we need something more. A lot of us, we're seeking more, you know, that pursuit of happiness that we have in our constitution. Well, what is that? Well, the pursuit of happiness, how's it going? It's going pretty good, right? And by my scorebook, it's not. But I have a feeling that if you look at a deeper sense of what they're saying, especially those who were Christ followers, they're talking about this joy. This knowing the Lord. Knowing that he is all power. He can take care of us at any, through any circumstances, through accidents, car accidents, through flat tires, through heart murmurs, or whatever is going on in our lives. He can take care of us. He controls all things. Though the enemy says, "I am equal to you, God," we know that he lies, and he is just a created being. No one is equal to God. And when we start to grasp that, like the people in Jerusalem, when we start to grasp that, well, then there's something happening inside. There's a confidence. There's a mindfulness. And in that, there's a joyfulness. I don't know about you. I there's times I'll be sitting there, and I'm not sure even what circumstance I'm in, but sometimes I would just sit there, and I don't know, have you ever had this? You're just sitting there, and all of a sudden you just kind of go, yes, Lord. you just start praising God. Or you just say, oh, you great God. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's a tough circumstance. Maybe it was a pretty good one. Maybe it was just kind of a boring day. Have you ever had that something inside you starts to just, you just find that you find your hands going, oop, like that. You're pointing to them, or you're raising your hands, or you just blurt out, thank you, God. And then you just feel something joyful within you. You know, what is that? Well, you know, we know the joy of the Lord is our strength because of who he is. He is unchanging. He can't move. He does not fail in anything. And in that joy, there's an emotional energy. If you know emotional energy, it's extremely powerful. Have you ever been under, you know, on a sports team or had listen to a motivational speaker? And the words just flow out there. And all of a sudden, you just want to get on your seat and go, yeah! You know, let's out there, let's get it done. You know, and then when you get in the car and you get home, then you kind of go, wow, what was that about? But some were spurred on, you know, by it. And, you know, some teams might get out there on the field and they play as best, hard as they can. I'm not sure if they're going to win or lose, but, you know, but that motivational speech will drive you forth. Well, this emotional energy of joy can also drive us forth. And what's even better is that we have the joy of the Lord being our strength of who he is. So if you're not sure, if you're not too confident, if you're still going, I don't know if he can take care of this situation, well, stop it. As Bob Newhart would say, stop it. just allow him to be God and you be his creature and you be his son and daughter and trust in him and follow him and what he has us to do. That's part of it. So the first secret is rejoicing. The joyfulness that we have is in the Lord. If you went back to like Philippians, I think 3:1, it says, further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. And of course, in 4:4, you know, I mean, we're talking about rejoice in the Lord always. So it's in the Lord. So we're not worried about anything else and all the things and all that stuff around us. No, we're focused in the Lord. That's where the joy comes from. That's where it becomes our strength to keep us moving in the day and have a joyful attitude. And you might not be cheering and jumping all over the place and a big smile. You might be just a Paul in prison writing joyfully. Telling people, oh, look what the Lord did for us. We just have so much. Look what he's done. I'm so confident in him. I know that what I have entrusted unto him, he's gonna keep until that day. I really believe that. And he showed me heaven. Yes, heaven's real. Our inheritance is real. Oh, I can't even explain it to you in writing. What joy we have in that inheritance. Joy in the Lord. Now, sometimes I say it this way. I get it mixed up sometimes, but I feel it's I say, yeah, you can have joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But then I turn around and I say, the strength of the Lord is your joy. Don't ever forget that. this mighty God, this incomparable, who has this an incomparable power for us to save us, to hold us, to keep us. That's what gives us joy. Okay? So that's secret one. Got it? What's secret one? Joy in the Lord. Our joy comes from the Lord, in the Lord. And you know what's interesting too here is in Colossians 3, it's interesting because joy, okay, it's in the Lord, but we also have a part in it too. Did you know that? Did you know that? Because if you read through Philippians, you'd start to think, you get into things like in 2, it says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Oh, and then it goes on further there in 5 of chapter 2 in Philippians. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. There's something going on up here. I don't know for some of you. Don, I'm not talking with you. We're on the same wavelength, aren't we? We are. We are. I know what you were thinking. I knew what you were thinking to me when I was doing this. You want me to do this to see if there's something hollow? Isn't it amazing, though? Isn't it? When we set our hearts there in Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. Oh, that's where our joy is. Seated at the right hand of God. Oh, my. And then listen to this. Set your what? Minds on things above, not on earthly things. Bing, 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 bing. Red lights, red lights, red lights. If you ever watched Outer, you know, what was that? Lost in Space with a robot going like this. Warning, warning, warning. Well, this is it. You know, this is not really a warning. It's just saying, hey, wake up, guy. Wake up. It's where we put our minds, isn't it? See, if we're putting our minds in things and all that stuff in this world, well, we know what the results are. It, you know, that joy will end, you know, depending on how it was, how good it was for us. But there's more to it, because now we have to set our minds on Christ. And when we do that, there's a joy that's going to come in there too, right? You got the joy in the Lord. And now specifically, if you have it in, then you actually have to focus upon it. And that is Christ alone. See, and being like him. Back there in 2:5, you know, we're to be like, same-minded as Christ Jesus. And it goes, you know, through all these things. You know, by very nature, he was God, but he didn't consider himself equal with God. Okay, and it keeps on showing this attitude that he had, this mindful attitude that we are to take on ourselves. You see, Hannah was able to leave her little Samuel at the tabernacle and joyfully sing because she knew she was growing in the grace and knowledge of who God was, that he's the one that's going to lift up those who are humbled, and those who are so high and mighty, they're going to go down. He was going to bless her more than she could ever imagine. And then she talked about this thundering voice which God used to defeat the Philistines in a battle they had. So she's known as awesome God, and she's able to have that joy. Her mind is set on what she has been learning and what God has put upon her heart. There's a mingling of our minds and the Holy Spirit working together to where you'll have those moments, and you might not even be able to control it, where you're going, oh, Lord, you're awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those guys in prison, in darkness, and they're memorizing scripture. Maybe, I don't know if they allow scripture in some of these prisons and stuff like that, but they memorize songs. They're singing all over. And the Lord, I know he's just ministering to them, just like Paul, just like Silas. And they're joyfully praising him. And as those songs are being sung and the words being verbalized, it's reverberating in that prison, and the Lord knows how he'll use that, how amongst the others who are able to hear and be saved just as they are. And Jesus, knowing that the joy set before him to go to cross, he's doing it because of his Father. He's doing his Father's will, not his will. You know, after a while, he was starting to go, if I'm a man, then my will certainly isn't this, but he's also God. He has that unity with Christ. I am Father, the perfect unity. And he knows the Father. And he knows who he is, and he knows where he's going, so he's able to just say, hey, I'm doing this. I know. I know what's going to happen. I know why I do this, and I know what's going to happen. There's a confidence in there. And we need that too. See, the second secret is have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. See, number one is what? Our joy is in the Lord. And when I say the Lord, I'm using all capitals. I'm talking about the great I am. And also, we are to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, who served others. Others were better. You know, he always thought of others more than himself. He put them first. He humbled himself to a point to where he died on a cross, an ugly, cursed cross. And then when God raised him up, he exalted him, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, that's the same mindset as Christ, because we know if we humble ourselves, as we serve others, as we love others, as we pray for others, as we do those random acts of kindness to others, we might not even know them. See, we do it with our eyes set on Christ and what he would do. Having that same mind as Jesus. And there's a joy in that. There's always a joy in giving. I don't know. Have you ever felt that? A joy in giving. So even for these faith pledges, you know, it's not a forcing action. If you're joyful in giving, give. If you don't want to, don't. Because God is not going to be impressed. He wants a cheerful giver. He knows your heart. So you have to be real with him. And everything else that we do in our lives, we need to be real with him. So if you want joy, that's the other secret. But there's joy stealers. Not Pittsburgh Steelers. I know that I could see your face lighten up there. You know, just, we'll talk about that later. No, this is joy stealing. These stealers, these people to take stuff away. Well, you know what it is? One of them is, what do you think is a joy stealer? What steals our joy? Worry. Worry can steal your joy because you're not in your correct way. You're not thinking correctly. You're not mindful on Christ. You don't have the joy of the Lord in you because you're relying upon something else. So you have worry. Another one is circumstance. Find your health falling apart, your job is gone, your wife ran away, your kids kicked you in the chin. All these things are happening. Circumstances can certainly take that joy away. Well, go try prison. See how you like that. Go try the cross. See how you like that. Go give your child to the temple. See how you like that. So you got circumstances, worry. You also got, oh my, let's clear out the place. People. People steal our joy. I don't know about you, Don, but people steal our joy. And another thing that steals our joy is things. Things like this can steal your joy. Did you know that? You put your heart on this, your mind is on this all the time. Like that. Like that. All right? You got that? What's he saying? He said that to me. He could in capital letters. Oh my. Things can steal our joy. So watch out for it, right? We got to set our minds on Christ. Get that single-mindedness on Christ. So people say, well, how are we going to rejoice always? You know, how are we going to have that joy? How are you going to be joyful always? Well, single-mindedness on Christ and on the gospel. Where are you with that? Where are you with that? If you're doing your own thing and you're not in Christ, well, then you're not really going to have joy. You might have happiness, but a deepness that can only come from Christ, from here, from the Lord, from the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have that. So you need to be in Christ, and Christ in you. And you need to be focused upon the gospel, about serving others, about telling others about Christ, praying for people, just like Max. Right? Random acts of joy, you know, of kindness. Things, that's something we should be doing this season, not just this season, but throughout the year. Random acts of kindness. Ever thought about that? I always go, oh, I'm always kind to myself before I'm kind to anybody else. Something, a little conviction there. Another thing besides single-mindedness is also submissiveness in your mind. Submissive mind. Ooh, that sounds bad. A submissive mind sounds bad, right? Are you just submissive to what, you know? Well, praise the Lord that we're submissive to Christ and his and what he has for us. And looking for the good of others, right? Serving others. That's being submissive. Not always looking for somebody to serve you, but you are to serve others and to look after others. A spiritual mind. We are to have a spiritual mind. Looking from heaven's perspective. You ever did that before? It's kind of tough because heaven is huge and God is awesome. We can't even grab him, but when we in our life and things are happening and circumstances and things and all that and people and all that stuff and worries, well, when we start getting up in God's throne and we start looking down at all this stuff, we start to go, oh, that's not. I'm only going to go through this for a short while. See, 80, 90, 100 years is a short while compared to eternity. Some people do go through difficult circumstances for 90 years, 80 years of their lives. They get nothing good. Just like Lazarus and the rich man, right? But then there's an eternity. Eternity in heaven. Eternity with Christ. Our brother. Our father. And the Holy Spirit. It's the beauty of the Holy Spirit, that water, like a river, glassy and clean, and the fruit trees growing on the side of that, producing fruit every month, maybe a new fruit every month, but it sounds like that's ours in Christ. See, when you get that perspective, then the things of this world and all the things, this you kind of go, okay, I'll go through this. It's not easy, but boy, I got a joy waiting for me, and I can walk joyfully now because I know what I got waiting for me. don't know about you. Especially when I was teaching, I was working with some very difficult kids, some dangerous kids. I mean, these guys were juvenile delinquents, and they were going on to prison, most likely. All right, these guys were dangerous. They can pop off at you at any time. You know, but when I knew there was like a vacation or something coming up, you know, Christmas vacation at 2 weeks, you know, that always drove me forth. I always had that special, I'd be going, man, this is hard. These guys are killing me, you know, all that stuff. But I focused upon that. Oh, I can't wait. On that Friday, I'm out of there. I got 2 weeks without these guys. You know, that's what drove me forth a lot of times. Yeah, I got a joy from that, a deep-seated joy, because I'm not dealing with the problems of these kids, and sometimes they brought it on themselves, sometimes it came from other places as well, and mainly as we're speaking, it's the enemy getting control of them. And then besides a single-mindedness, submissive mind, and a spiritual mind, then you need a secure mind. Be at peace in Christ. Remember that, what the angel said to the shepherds, you know, there's great news of great joy. Great news of great joy, because now our Christ is born. He's here. And not only is he born, but now he's going to walk in this earth. He's going to show himself to be God. And then he's going to do something you never thought of. He's going to die for you. He's going to make peace between you and the Father. Oh, and he's going to rise again on the third day. And it's just a proof of all that. Oh, that's a joy. That's a joy. That's a secure mind when you're thinking about those type of things through all times. Buying a new car, getting a new job, whatever, things coming at you, this and that, you want this and that. People, being people. Circumstances you can't really stop, you can't control, you know, worries in our hearts, because we don't have the secure minds. We're not thinking rightly. We're not thinking from a perspective of God in heaven. So remember this, the secrets of a joyful lifestyle. Know that it's in the Lord. We need to be in the Lord. And we need to have that like-mindedness of Christ Jesus. Have that same mind as him. And then when we have that, then you have all the single-mindedness. You have the single-mindedness, submissive mind. You have the spiritual mind. And you have a secure mind. And the Lord bless you. And then he comes, finishes up with this here. In Philippians 4:8, just listen to this. We'll close with this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have heard or received or learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, yes, we want to live joyful lives. Help us to focus in upon you and who you are, to know that you are our strength, that special joy that we have in you will help us through all times. And we have this great inheritance waiting for us. So may we live joyfully, Lord, joyfully in a way that will show love to others even when we're not feeling well or things aren't going well. A joyfulness that will help us to rejoice in you and praise your name that others can hear. Hear about this awesome God who loves them. A joyfulness of life that will allow us to walk confidently and at peace with you, knowing all that you have done for us is perfect and wonderful and sufficient for us. Thank you for that, Father. Empower us, empower our lives. May we go out as joyful people from this place to be a blessing to those who are so hoping to find joy in their lives. May it come from you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, and all those people say, amen. Amen.